Thank you. And Ms. Eisenhower.
Thank you. A concern that I've long been familiar with is the failing septic systems along our marine waterways. And it's been a huge problem in the Hood Canal region and in the greater Puget Sound region with rapidly urbanizing populations and aging septic systems. So an environment, there's an underlying environmental narrative about the age of our septic systems and getting better systems in place. I think that we need to review what other counties have done, because I've heard other counties, the processes are much more efficient. I've heard this over and over again from builders and home builders in our community. And I would want to look at what those permitting processes are and what makes things go more quickly in those communities. I have had personal experience in this county with the septic approval process. My family actually was developing a piece of property and got a septic system approved and then built the septic system. And then it was inspected and we were told we couldn't use it. So it's just this kind of building clear expectations about what you want people to do and then driving to functional septic systems being installed. The other thing is I have a number of friends who have installed and even permitted composting toilets and alternative waste management systems. And I think that those are wonderful ways to deal with the issue, oftentimes much more affordably than conventional septic systems. So I would say we need to look at a mixture of solutions for this problem, but the permitting process needs to be addressed.
Well, let's see. I don't know if you've...
Not hearing anything.
Renee, I think you are still freezing up somehow.
Yep, go ahead, Angela.
All right. The next question, county commissioners represent county interests on many state and regional boards. Which will be your priority and why? And we'll start with Ms. Smith for this question.
The Board of County Commissioners meets mostly once a year to go over those committee assignments. And, you know, as the new commissioner on the block, I'll be working with my fellow commissioners to see where the needs are and also wanting to, you know, use my own strengths and background. So I'm an ecologist. And so any of the committees that dealt with environment and ecology, certainly I would be interested in. I believe in collaborative processes. I would like to do some of the interfacing with the tribes. I'm very interested about working with the community on the Hadlock sewer. So I would be looking at committees assignments that, you know, went along those lines. I've had a fair amount of experience also working with our congressional delegation. And I know that Commissioner Dean has been doing a fair amount of that. Maybe I would be sharing some of those responsibilities with her. So I'll end there.
Log back in. Thank you, Ms. Smith. And now Ms. Eisenhower, please.
Thank you. I witnessed just last week the county commissioners discussing an appointment to a committee. So I know it's very much an organic conversation that happens among the members of the county as new opportunities come up. So I would imagine that would continue happening that way. My thoughts about which committees I would want to sit on, there are about 45 external boards and committees that the commissioners sit on. So that would average about 15 each. And that's a huge commitment of time, but it seems like it would be logical that we would look to committees for me that would relate to District 2. So the Hadlock Sewer, maybe the Navy Military Liaison. Also potentially easy ones for me to take on would be ones that David was vacating. and things I would be interested in. I've been going to the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, and it's something that I'm very interested in, and would be interested in serving on that committee. I think that there are also probably opportunities to look at what collaborations and committees aren't happening right now that could benefit the work of the greater county. So there's logical places where this COVID-19, the response to COVID-19, I know right now the port and the city and the PUD and the county have formed a kind of task force to look at the response and resiliency coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, if we are ever actually coming out of it. But looking at how we're going to live through this time together and be resilient and resourceful, I think that that's the kind of thing that I would like to see us doing whenever things come up that we need to dig in and do together.
Thank you very much, Ms. Eisenhower. And now Ms. Fenaro, please.
I think that I will be serving, in whatever capacity the county best thinks that I need to serve in. So I obviously have a lot of experience with the on-site sewage and permitting. And, you know, I'm the vice president for our Jefferson County Home Builders Association. So I'm fairly knowledgeable about the challenges that our home builders are facing. I would say anything that connects through building sewer projects, analyzing and looking at on-site sewage, maybe DCD. I definitely would love the opportunity to continue in David's capacity on the Affordable Housing and Homeless Housing Task Force. We've done some really great work there, and I would like to be able to continue in that work. I know that there's going to be other projects coming up with the county as we transition through the pandemic. So, I have to agree with Ms. Eisenhower that building some sensible expectations for what our response to that looks like and what community resiliency looks like, not just within our county, but in a regional capacity. How we partner with Clallam County, how we partner with our cohorts through the tribes on the west end and on the north end of the peninsula and all parts in between. For all intents and purposes, we live on an island that's connected by a bridge and a little thumb of land and through a vast wilderness. And when it comes down to it, the only people we can count on are ourselves, each other, and our neighbors. And so any way I can help build relationships with our neighbors is of most interest to me.
Thank you. Renee, are you back connected or shall I
think I'm back up? Can you hear me? Doesn't look like it. Keep going, Angela.
All right. Our next question will start with Ms. Eisenhower. As the county moves forward with plans for the Irondale and Port Hadlock Urban Growth Area Wastewater System, also known as the Hadlock Sewer, what outreach strategies will you use with residents and businesses to address their concerns over zoning changes and costs?
Well, this issue is in my front yard. I live one block from the current boundary of the phase one Hadlock sewer area. And I have come home to people sitting in my yard in the rain with newspapers on their heads wanting to talk about this already. So I'm getting a little bit of a glimpse of what the job of county commissioner actually is out here in District 2. The sewer is an issue of much concern in the community and something that I know we've been working on for decades now. I think that outreach to the community and not just to a limited set of landowners who own land in that district or that urban core of Hadlock is going to be critical. I know there are a number of people who feel like they haven't been listened to and haven't been heard. And maybe it's because they were engaged a decade ago in the conversation, but I think we need regular opportunities for residents of District 2 to give input into this project as it's developed. I know a ton of great work has been done and a lot of groundwork has been laid for sewer in Hadlock. And I think it would be a fantastic solution for developing more affordable housing and developing the kind of density we need to accommodate that. I am not anti-development. I actually think that having more dense urban development protects the open spaces around the more densely developed areas. And I think that Hadlock is a logical place to do that, to build multifamily housing and to allow maybe for tiny houses. So I think engaging more of the community in the conversation is a top priority.
Thank you, Ms. Eisenhower. Next, Ms. Fenaro, please.
Thank you. As I've said before, you know, the sewer is a critical piece to being able to increase our inventory of affordable housing. And frankly, we have no choice. The Growth Management Act has dictated that our county must build a sewer. So in some form or fashion, we have to contend with that. You know, I've had conversations with the sitting county commissioners and repeatedly asked, there's no way out of the Growth Management Act, question mark. I've been told that we have to deal with what's in front of us. I think that we can advocate for ourselves and we can change and limit potentially the scope of the size of sewer project that we build. You know, I've referenced several times that I certainly don't want to do what Belfair has done and bankrupt our county, because we cannot afford to run a full-scale water treatment facility like they have in Port Angeles. That's not feasible economically for who we are as a community, at least not based on the information that I've gathered. We are still going to have to remove the solids. They're still going to have to be transported out of the county unless we can come up with some other technology that is suitable for that. It's going to happen. And so the question is how do we do it in a way that most respects the neighbors, that then also allows us to build the density that we're looking for? I'm interested in exploring some out-of-the-box ideas about, yes, sewer, and then, you know, some of the Oscar systems for on-site sewage, looking at large on-site sewage options that can be run through the state. I think that there are many ways to skin a cat, and we're going to come up with them.
Thank you, Ms. Fenaro. And now Ms. Smith, please.
Fortunately, the Growth Management Act doesn't tie us to building a sewer in Port Hadlock. We did designate an urban growth area there, and we had 20 years from the time of that designation to either put in all the essential public services or lose the designation as an urban growth area. So I think that's maybe where some of the confusion comes in. We're a long ways from having the Hadlock sewer on the ground. And in my view, we're a whole long ways from having done enough interaction with the community on that. When I worked at Snohomish County, I did charrettes around siting a huge sewer project, the Brightwater sewer project on the King County Snohomish line. And eventually the community came around to actually being part of the team that wanted this to happen. We were able to build in some amenities that the community wanted. But the bottom line is right now we're nowhere near having identified where the funding is going to come from that would bring the project cost down so that the individual assessments, hookup costs, and then cost to buy these individual grinders would be within reach for a number of people. I've met with the community out there, and I've told the folks that I've met with that I will definitely dedicate myself to making sure that as the project moves forward, no one is in danger of losing their home. No one is bankrupted by this project. So there needs to be continual public involvement and outreach and listening to the community on this project. It has the potential to bring benefits to the county, certainly. Sewers do allow denser development, but we need to hear from the community all the way along.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. And I believe Renee is back on the system.
I am, with old technology. It's called a telephone. It's wonderful. So our next question. So this is a very timely one as well. The Jefferson County Sportsmen's Association firing range has been in operation in the county since 1962 and makes its range available to local law enforcement for firearms training. What is your stance on fire ranges in the county? And I believe you will be first up, Ms. Eisenhower.
I believe it was my turn for a question.
I may well be off cycle, so if that's correct, please.
Am I right, Heidi?
I think I went first last time, so
okay.
And F comes okay. After E, so there you go, girl.
Thank you, appreciate it. So it's important for residents to have a safe place to learn to use and discharge their firearms. The Jefferson County Sportsmen's Association has been a part of our community for a very long time. Many, many people in our community have learned to use their rifles and whatnot for hunting at that location. I'm glad that the county has allowed for them to have the space of time to utilize the funding they need to try to do some noise suppression. I think that most people who live in Jefferson County would agree that it makes good sense to have a safe space for us to discharge firearms. I'm not interested in seeing paramilitary facilities built on our peninsula, though. I don't think that has a place in our Olympic National Forests or close to them. That's where I pretty much stand on it. I would like to use just the quick remainder of my time to come back to the question on the sewer project, something that was a bit troubling for me around the Growth Management Act. Specifically, as I understand it, if we do not build the sewer, we don't have a space to create the kind of density that we need to be able to build multi-unit family housing. So taking that off of the table, I think puts us at a higher risk to be more housing poor, so to speak, than we currently are. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fennaro. Next would be Ms. Smith.
While I was on the Jefferson County Planning Commission, a seat I still hold, we took up this issue, as I think most of you know, of shooting ranges in the county, the siting and permitting of commercial shooting facilities. Because the Jefferson County Sportsman's Club is a grandfathered in use in the county, that was not something we took on as the Planning Commission, nor did the Board of County Commissioners take it on. They renewed their permit for quite a few years. I want to say 20 years. It might even have been longer, 40 years perhaps. They are doing some noise abatement there. I know the community still has some concerns about noise, which I think they need to be listened to. But I agree, we need a safe place for our sportsmen and our police, whoever wants to use that facility for practicing firearms. In our society, where firearms are so prevalent, we all would agree we need safe places to practice them. However, I was the one who wrote the ordinance that would allow only indoor commercial shooting facilities to be sited in the county in the future. And my reason for doing that and taking it on was that in examining where in the county on private lands these facilities could go, there simply was no place in rural Jefferson County where they wouldn't have severe impacts on surrounding areas, on our rural lifestyles, on our water quality, et cetera. So I'm very proud of the fact that I worked with the Planning Commission to get that passed. The Planning Commission and then the Board of County Commissioners also passed it unanimously.
Thank you. And Ms. Eisenhower.
The first thing I want to say is I'm not opposed to guns. I come from a family of responsible hunters and fishers. It's just part of who I am. And yes, we absolutely need a safe place for people to learn and practice using firearms. I tracked the issue with the Tarbu gun range closely, mostly because out of my care for the natural environment of that place, as executive director of the Land Trust, I was a lead advocate for the expansion of the Debab Bay Natural Area Preserve boundary that allowed for the protection of hundreds of more acres of land in that beautiful area, part of our county. And that was the primary concern that I was tracking that issue. I think that the solution that Ms. Smith and the Planning Commission came to was artful and wonderful. I think it's a good solution for that particular situation. I think that in the future, every single situation needs to be looked at individually. And it's not something that I would want to make a broad sweeping statement about, that all shooting ranges are fine if they're indoors, or all shooting ranges are fine if they're a certain scale. I think each one needs to be looked at individually. I also agree with what the commissioner said in their deliberations about the ordinance, and that the county has wide swaths of public land, such as Olympic National Forest, and ample private land in which outdoor shooting is allowed. So I think that I don't think we need more shooting ranges in our county, personally, and would not be a big advocate for those. But I think that we have plenty of opportunity for practicing safe firearm discharge.
Thank you. So we're going to move on to the next question. This one has to do with different demographics in our county. So outreach to and from citizens is a challenge even without social distancing. And many people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s are juggling multiple jobs, starting businesses, raising families, and they may have little time or energy to advocate for their positions. What is your outreach plan for the younger members of this community? And I think you are up first, Ms. Smith.
I have a lot of members of our younger community, if you will, already supporting my campaign. I think because my views align with theirs so well. First of all, I have deep concern for working families and their ability to continue to find living wage jobs in the county and for affordable housing. But beyond that, I'm really proud of our, you know, younger generation, if you will, that are out there on the streets, that are demonstrating on behalf of Black Lives Matter, that are out leading the charge on so many changes, climate change. I went to the high school's climate change demonstration, and it just brought tears to my eyes to see those eloquent teenagers speaking up for our planet. And they know that that's my background too. I've always been an environmental activist. I've lived my values. I've been out there on the front lines testifying and protesting. They know that about me. So I think that's one of the reasons I've seen a lot of young people gravitate already to my campaign, and I'm continuing to reach out to them. Like all of us in this day and age, our campaign's gone almost entirely online, and we're using all of the available you know, avenues for communication, of course, Facebook, Instagram, emails, et cetera, YouTube videos. And so that's the way we're staying in communication. And I'm inviting feedback from them also as on issues that are important to them in the campaign.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Next, Ms. Eisenhower.
Thank you. Well, I grew up in this community, so I was a young activist in this community. I was actually appointed to the Planning Commission when I was 26 by then County Commissioner Richard Voigt, who was my science teacher at Chimicum Middle School. So I have been a young active member of our community, and now I'm a middle-aged active member of our community. And some of the frustrations I can remember feeling were that a lot of times meetings were at night and I couldn't get to the meetings, or they lasted for 3 or 4 hours. And that wasn't really acceptable for a kid who had to do her homework, or the parents who had to schlep her to and from the meetings. So that's for really younger. You were asking about kind of in the 20 to 40 range, but I think that at all levels, our community has proven that they're passionate and active. We have volunteers at the Northwest Maritime Center who are teenagers who come every week when we're not closed down to volunteer and help in ways that they can on our campus. And I think that being creative about how we engage younger members of our community and rising to their occasion. One young person I know recently told me I needed to do a TikTok video for my campaign. And then I just, you know, I'm like, what's TikTok? Or have you heard about Hustle? And I these are things I don't know about, but I think that I'm going to learn about them. And I have now learned about those two apps, but I think being current, and using the technologies that different age groups are using to reach those populations will be an important pivot in our community, especially as we come through this time of so much virtual communication. How are we going to be increasingly creative in the way we reach out to people?
Thank you. And Ms. Fenaro.
So I have a house full of preteens and teenagers currently. I lived here as a teenager. I lived here in my 20s. I lived here in my 30s. I've been a mom here, kind of run the gamut of this. It was one of the key reasons why developing and being one of the founding members of our Young Professionals Network with the Jefferson County Chamber of Commerce was so critical, because young people in our community are often asked to show up, to have a voice, and to donate their time. I think that some of the things that I would love to see happen is kind of a reframing of how, as the Board of County Commissioners, how, I don't know if it's possible to change the time of meetings. All day meetings on a Monday morning are really challenging for most working people to be able to attend, let alone if you have young children at home, and young people often can't be there. I think having options for childcare at any public meeting ever, always, is a way that you can engage young families. I think it's really critical that we start having a conversation within the community about paying people for their work. And this doesn't just go for our young professionals and our young people, but there are plenty of amazing volunteer opportunities within our local nonprofits. But frankly, we can't all be asked to work for free. And some of us who are just trying to pay our rent and buy groceries for next week can't necessarily donate 20 hours a week of our time or spend a lot of time on a project for a local nonprofit or a cause and not get paid in real money to then pay our rent and buy those groceries. So kind of helping reframe that conversation is something that interests me greatly.
Thank you so much. We're going to try to get one more question in before our closing statements. So this last question, and try to be concise if you could. When you have a strongly held views about a topic, what could a constituent do that would cause you to change your mind? And I think this question goes first to you, Ms. Eisenhower.
So I think the most important thing to do is to listen. And if you're really listening, your mind might be changed. One thing that I've learned as an environmental scientist is that evidence is helpful at times for crafting a convincing argument. I think that I've proven over my years in the community that I'm a good listener and an effective network builder, drawing in all the opinions of people who care about an issue. I think the most important thing, though, that we can do is really listen openly to what people have to bring and be open to our minds being changed. I think that that's a critical trait in a leader and something that as a county commissioner, I would bring to the table in spades. And I still have a minute.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. We're going to try to get those closing statements. So Ms. Sinar, if you could be brief as well. Thank you.
Sure. I think that curiosity is key, and I try to approach every situation as a leader with a sense of curiosity. I don't like to make assumptions of what the outcome or the intention was. And I think when community members approach me, they often find that I ask them a lot of questions. And it's because I have a genuine deep curiosity about what motivates people. And sometimes when someone's really frustrated with an outcome or something that they're seeing happen, I find that being able to engage them and get to the why they're upset, sometimes it doesn't have to do with the thing that they're voicing as the problem. And so staying in that place of curiosity for me helps me to have my mind changed and to deepen that relationship with the people that I'm interacting with. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Smith?
Well, I've always been a listener and a learner my whole life. I've also relied pretty heavily on my ability to do research, and I've always invited people to bring me information on new topics so I can learn and then know how to ask the right questions. I think that's just how you have to always approach these things. In my last 6 years on the Planning Commission, that's certainly how I have approached all those issues. And certainly, you know, for instance, on the gun range issue, I did a lot of research, and that's really what led me to the solution that we all finally landed on. But listening is a very key part of that. Collaborating is a very big part of that. I never have all the answers myself. And when I meet with people from different areas, for instance, sitting down with the tribes and getting their perspective, I often hear something I wasn't expecting to hear at all that definitely changed my mind on things. So keeping an open mind is probably the very most important thing. And keeping those good listening skills, ears open, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, and that can change your mind on things.
Thank you so much, and thank you, candidates, for all being brief on that last question. I appreciate it. And we're really right on time. I've turned my camera back on with fingers crossed that things will continue to work. I've got the phone and the computer and all of that. And I have the white bowl again, or the clear bowl. I'm going to reach in and draw one of your names to see who will have the first opportunity for the closing statement. And this will go to you, Ms. Smith.
All right. As we've seen, enormous challenges lie ahead for our economy and our community. Meeting and rising above these challenges isn't going to be easy. It's going to require the effort of our entire community. But I believe in us. I believe in the power of our community. I believe in the future of our fantastic, unique county. As your county commissioner, you can count on me to lead with vision, integrity, and grit, and to work collaboratively with our wise elders, young families, and the youth leaders that are now stepping up to show us a new direction. I believe if we all work together and listen to each other, we can forge a shining future for Jefferson County. The August 4th primary is coming soon, and I'd be honored if you would vote for Lorna Smith for commissioner. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. And this goes to you, Ms. Eisenhower.
Thank you, Renee. Well, I'll leave you with these thoughts. I have the right tools in my toolbox, including multiple leadership positions with thriving local nonprofit organizations, small business management, and demonstrated resourcefulness in helping businesses and community institutions thrive. I've managed budgets of all scales, and this is a part of the job that I would really look forward to digging into. My colleagues and friends know me as dependable and hardworking. My 40 years of community building here affords me a vast network of people of all stripes who live in and care about our home. All three of these factors combined make me the best candidate for this time. In the words of a prominent farmer in District 2, Heidi just knows us. Currently, I'm Chief Operations Officer for the Northwest Maritime Center, and over the past few months, we have navigated the COVID-19 crisis, moving from a staff of almost 50 to now a skeleton crew tasked with maintaining and rebuilding our organization. I have a front seat row for the impact of this crisis, and am deeply concerned about the growing number of our neighbors who are finding themselves unemployed or significantly underemployed. After years of an unemployment rate that stayed between 4 and 6%, Jefferson County unemployment jumped to 15% between March and May. The COVID-19 crisis has clearly illustrated the need for a web of community resources working collaboratively to create a safety net for our neighbors. Our economy is fragile. Housing and food security are areas of an increasing concern. I have proven experience in developing collaborative solutions, building the right network to mobilize them, and seeing them to fruition. I would love to spend time with any of you talking about the time ahead in Jefferson County, and critically, what your ideas are. It's going to take all of us rowing together to get through the waters ahead. And finally, I'd just like to thank the League and AAUW for hosting this evening's forum. I know how much effort went into this process behind the scenes, and I'm grateful for all of your efforts. Thank you, everyone.
Ms. Sinara.
Thank you to my beloved Jefferson County community. I love getting to sit with you and have this opportunity to speak to all of you. I hope that I earn your vote. I believe in my heart that I am the best fit for this position. I know that my committed work, both as your chamber president, as the developer of the Young Professionals Network, helping our school districts, working on this affordable housing task force, working for reproductive rights for women, marching in the streets, none of those things have I ever been paid to do. I've always done them because I believe in this community deeply. All the while, raising a family, just like many of you, and working and running a small business in critical times, employing many people who are also supporting families. That makes me unique in this moment. I'm also happy and honored to be endorsed by the Native American Caucus of Washington State Democrats, and also by the North Olympic Peninsula Farm Bureau, and two of our formerly sitting Jefferson County commissioners. I hope that I can count on your vote on August 4th in District 2. All of our District 2 neighbors get to get out and vote. And I hope to move into the general election in November and be there to represent our whole county. I thank you for your time this evening. I thank the League. I thank KPTZ. Thank you so much for broadcasting this. I dreamed of a radio station in the 90s that would be local. I'm so glad we have it now. I appreciate the local papers for taking the time to do this. Renee, thank you for sticking with us through the challenges of technology, and I hope you all have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Candidates, I cannot thank you enough for sharing your views and stepping forward. This is such an important time in our county, our state, nationwide. So it's really remarkable when people have the courage, and I want to commend each of you for running for office. This is a big deal, and you are to be thanked for it.
Thanks for
so a few things. We have recorded this forum, and this is going to be posted on YouTube in a couple of days. Dennis Deneau should have it up. He said in a couple of days, maybe as early as sooner than that, but we'll give him a couple of days for that. So if you're interested in finding that recording, you could go to Dennis Deneau, and that's spelled D-A-N-E-A-U, and it'll take you to his channel where you can find this video. I'd also like to mention that future league forums for other offices, both the primary and the general elections, will be posted on the local league's website, which of course is lwva.org/Jefferson. And also for the first time, Jefferson County voters will be able to watch and hear forums for statewide office. And we know that forums for the 6th Congressional District and the 24th Legislative District are being planned. So please go ahead and submit your questions for those races, and you can send them to that number that we've been, the email we've been using, which is lwvjeffcowa@gmail.com. I want to thank AAUW and the League of Women Voters for hosting these candidate forums. They're so, so important for all of us to learn about these candidates and to get to know the issues. Please keep the questions coming. The candidates will be out many more times, I'm sure, over the next several weeks and months ahead. So mostly I want to thank all of you who have listened in tonight, who are watching this by Zoom or listening to it later on YouTube. Huge thanks to the volunteers, Angela especially, for stepping in when my technology was failing me, despite all of the things that we set in place. Thank you to all who have worked so hard. Many, many names, so I won't mention them all, but thank you all for volunteering. Thank you to the candidates. Good luck to all of you. And thank you to Jefferson County for listening in tonight. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
This is KPTZ in Port Townsend, Washington. Thank you to the League of Women Voters, AAUW, and moderator Renee Klein for producing this seminar. And thank you for listening.